Hi, Monique. Hi, Lauren. Hey, Jennifer. Give everyone a minute. Great. Well, welcome everyone. So happy to be here with all of you. We have a practicum today, and it's the first practicum that we haven't done one like this before. I'm really excited about it. Before we get into it, though, a couple of housekeeping pieces. So, first of all, for those of you that were able to make the Sacred Depths open house last week, thank you for being there. I hope that you enjoyed it as much as I did and received some good and juicy pieces for yourself. It was great to see so many of you there. I posted about this in the Facebook group, but I want to make sure I also mention it here. I had promised that for those of you that invited your friends, if they came, that you would get a special bonus gift from me. The referral magnet home study programs, kind of perfect, right? Because that was about asking for referrals. And I have a full training on different ways to activate more referrals for yourself and in your business. Of course, as we know, the top number one best way to activate referrals is by doing amazing work that people love and then they refer you. But there also needs to be some context and invitations and different ways of doing it. And so that's all in that freebie. Of course, I offered it, but then I didn't ask the team to track who invited folks. So I need to ask you, if you have a friend that was there, or even if you have a friend that was supposed to be there, but they didn't show up, but you know they registered, if you can just respond to the Facebook post that I put in our group, that would be great. That way I can get your gift to you. If you're not on Facebook, just send me a note and let me know. Okay, that was a first piece. The second housekeeping piece that I wanted to mention is probably tomorrow you'll be receiving over email invitations to join the next round of the small group cohorts, which will take us through the end of the program. As a reminder, first of all, just why do we have the small group cohorts? They're optional, they're not for everybody. But over the last couple of years, I am really happy to include them in the program because they really, for the people that want it and need it, they really allow you to go deeper to integrate all of the material that we're moving through in the training calls. One of the things that neuroscientists have figured out about how people learn is that they learn best when they're discussing the information that they're learning. When you're actually talking about it, I try to integrate that as much as I can into our training calls with our shares. With journaling. Journaling is a way of discussing the material. But because I do have so much that I share in each of our training sessions, we don't have time for breakout rooms, which I really wish we do. In my ideal world, each of our calls would be at least 3 hours long and we would have time to do it all at once. But I know people wouldn't sign up for the program if all the calls were 3 hours. And so that's why we have the small group cohorts. What I have seen is that they become even more valuable in the second half of the program. If you can believe it, we've been kind of going at a little bit of a slower pace the first half of the program. In the second half of the program, we're going to pick things up because we have our strong foundations of the foundational skills. There is going to be more that I'm sharing each week. And so if you are someone that you know about yourself, that it's helpful for you to integrate in this way of discussing. We do a lot of looking at client case studies in the small group cohorts in the second half of the program. Some of the questions are like, here's a client case study based on the pieces we just learned. How would you handle this client? Different things like that. So anyway, you have opportunity, whether you participated in the first set of group cohorts or not, you have opportunity to opt in to the second, even if you participated in the first. If you know you want to participate in the second group, you'll get emails to opt in. Some things that you already know, but just to repeat, so that you remember, part of where is the training calls? You're here with the group, but it's like you can come and go. It's not so much a commitment to the group. For those small group cohorts, it's really about a commitment to yourself as well as a commitment to your group, which is why we ask that you commit to showing up. It still works when people don't show up, but it becomes a little bit harder to rework the groups and also to kind of keep that consistency with the small groups. So we ask that there's 9 times that the small groups will be meeting in the next cycle. We ask that if you opt in, that you can make at least 7, right? So make sure you have, hopefully you'll have all of them on your calendar, but please at least 7 of them. What else can I tell you about it? So 8 of those 9 sessions are in the new year after January 1st. There's only 1 this year, which is on December 14th. So if you're like, I need a little space, just know it's just 1. And then they start really in the new year. They're not required for certification. It's not a certification requirement. Just trying to look at my notes. What else? Oh, and also it becomes harder if you show up later, like more than 5 minutes late, it becomes like a kind of a juggling thing. So please try to show up on time or in the first 5 minutes of the call. Any questions on that? Julie's asking in the chat, will the small groups continue to meet on Wednesdays? So yes, they're going to continue to meet on Wednesdays. I know that there was another group going, wasn't there a group going on the side? Yeah, Monique. I know Monique was in it. I can't remember who else that was meeting on the weekends, right? Monique, can you just take yourself off mute and speak to that?
Yeah, there was a handful of us. It was Sarah, Melody, Vesica, Carmen. We were meeting on Wednesdays as well. I think we were a little flexible, but we landed on Wednesdays at about, I don't know, you guys are all Pacific time zone. So there's that option. So I'm not sure if all of us ladies within the group, five of us, if we're going to continue on. I know I am. So we haven't really had that conversation yet. But if it needs to change, you know, we're probably kind of flexible there.
Beautiful. Unless any of
the other people want to chime in. But yeah.
I love that you all are doing that and meeting on your own. It makes me so happy. I'm glad that it's going to continue. And just so everybody knows, that group, we make sure you get the questions ahead of time. So you're working with all the same material just outside of the time that Imbal is facilitating. Great. Thank you. Speaking of groups happening, I also just wanted to toss this to everyone. This has happened in some of the other groups, in case anybody wants to start this up, group co-working sessions. They're kind of like mini get it done days that y'all facilitate on your own. And I know in like the other Sacred Depths group that is going on right now, they meet every Friday, and sometimes it's just three of them and sometimes it's eight of them, but they get a chunk of work done for an hour or two every Friday, and they're just kind of there to support each other and hold the space to get it done. So if anybody here wants to start that up, I encourage you using our, we have an amazing community here. So I just encourage using the community in any ways that you want to. Oh yeah, and Val's saying in the chat, sometimes they also have viewing parties for people that didn't show up live to class. If someone didn't show up live, they're like, I'm going to do a viewing party. Who else wants to come? And they'll just replay the recording and a couple people will show up and then discuss. And it's really nice. So anyway, not required, but I'm just tossing it because there's so many ways to connect and to really use this community and this container to move forward in all the ways that you want to move forward. Any other questions on the small groups? No. Okay. So we have a practicum today in a little bit of a different way where we've done the listening practicum or the questioning practicum or the creating awareness practicum. What we're going to do today is Lauren. So we have, I don't know if I shared this, I can't remember, but we have a number of about five or six people in our circle who are Sacred Depths alumni. They're Sacred Depths graduates, and they have made the amazing decision to take Sacred Depths again as a way of going deeper with their skills, to more deeply integrate and embody their skills. And part of this going through it the second time, kind of one of the bonuses of it is that each of them get to coach during these practicums. So Lauren's going to come on in a little bit and I'm going to call a volunteer client and Lauren's going to coach for about 30 minutes. Now, Lauren is not actually the one that's getting the most benefit of the coaching session. And actually even the volunteer isn't the one that's getting the most benefit of the coaching session, although the both of them will get a lot of benefit. We are all getting the benefit of observing the coaching and observing together in very conscious, intentional ways. This is another way that we learn, by observing coaching and then breaking it down and discussing it. I love these practicum calls because so much gets learned and integrated and embodied all around. And so, as Lauren is coaching, I'm going to ask everybody here to have their practitioner hat on and to be listening for some very specific things and making notes so that we can discuss it. I'm going to be making a lot of notes too, so all of you will hear all of my reflections and feedback and suggestions as well. Here are the things that I want everybody to be listening for. Number one, what is Lauren doing really well? What are you noticing that it's like, ooh, you know, like those are some great questions, or she's really listening to the client and reflecting back what she's hearing, or that was a great way of reflecting a hard truth, or oh, I'm noticing her energetics and how she's holding the container. She's doing this, this, and that, right? Or she remembered to strategize. Remember to strategize, Lauren. So it's not just this like kind of open-ended new awarenesses without next steps, right? So I want you to be listening for all of the skills that we've already covered, energetics and energetics, listening, creating awareness, questioning skills, visioning skills, strategizing skills. And I want you to know what's working really well. I want you to also, as you're using your listening skills, I want you to notice what you might be doing differently. So what are some things that you might do differently than Lauren did? Are there certain pathways you might go down that she didn't go down? Is there a certain moment where you may have given the response more space before jumping in? Is there a moment that you would have acknowledged that maybe Lauren didn't? There's 100 ways. This is what I love about coaching. There's 100 ways to get to the end point. There's not just one way, right? So what would you do differently? Some of those pieces aren't going to be, that would have been great that way too. Some of those pieces are going to be like, that was a miss on Lauren's part. And we're lovingly going to be looking at that, right? Knowing how amazing Lauren is, because we're going to like celebrate all the things she also did well, but like, we want to know where our misses are as well. And then the third thing I want to invite everybody to make note of are, as you're listening and witnessing, do you have any questions for Lauren about why she made a certain coaching decision that she made? Do you have any questions? Like, maybe she did something, you're like, oh, that's interesting. I wonder what made her decide to do that, right? Why did she do that instead of that? So do you have any questions? That makes sense. And then we're gonna discuss all of it. Anyone have any questions on how we're going to move forward for the next 70-ish? Am I doing my math right? Yeah, 70-ish minutes. Okay. I need a volunteer client. Please don't be shy. Raise your hand so I can see it like in the side in the Zoom. Who has something that they would like to be supported on today, that they would like to be coached on today? And Angie, yay. Thanks for volunteering, Angie.
Awesome. Yeah, I feel the need to put myself in the hot seat. I'm not sure what about, but we're going to figure it out.
Yep. I love it. Thank you. Thank you for being willing. So I'm going to come back to you, Angie, in a moment. First, I want to talk to Lauren. Hi, Lauren.
Hi.
We love you, Lauren. We know that you are wonderful and a strong coach, and that everything that is going to unfold in the next hour is like taking great to even better. And I know that we're all going to observe and hold just with so much respect for you and what you bring to it all. Thank you for being willing. I just like, it's vulnerable for Angie. I know it's vulnerable for you too. Thank you so much to both of you. So what I want to ask you, Lauren, before we go in is, I know that you have so many strengths that you're going to lean on. And I also want you to use this time to stretch some of your edges. What are one or two edgy places that you really want to be paying attention to as you coach today? What's important for you to practice and stretch?
So an ongoing thing that I've been working on with my coaching partner has been asking breakthrough questions. Really trying to focus on improving and enhancing my questioning skills. And then also, I mean, I think it's both like visioning and strategizing. So
Great. Okay.
I think.
And what specifically, because those are really general. So is it just to remember to do them?
A lot of it is remembering. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Reflecting just comes very naturally and easily to me. And so I, a lot of times, tend to default to that and am really trying to focus on the other pieces more.
Beautiful. Okay. So I want you to be thinking about that and bringing that in. We're going to be looking for all of that as well. What is an important energetic piece or perspective for you to come into this with so that you can work these edges on the asking breakthrough questions, the visioning, the strategizing?
I mean, I think it's like owning my role as a coach and really recognizing that, like, I've been doing this for years, even though I haven't had that many clients specifically for coaching. I've been doing this in so many other different ways, and they all apply, and really just honoring that piece.
Yeah, beautiful. So I want you to really, when you can, like, set yourself up with that now energetically. And then if you remember here and there, come back to it. Like, you have so much that you're already sitting on top of, that you own, that you've earned, that you're really skillful at. You don't need to rely only on the creating awareness. You have the skills that you need in order to ask breakthrough questions, vision, strategize. All right. So it's 3:21 Eastern on my clock. I'm going to do some quick math. I'm going to give you until 3. I'm going to give you until 4. So you'll have a nice amount of time if you want it. You're going to, just like you would in a coaching session, keep the time. I'll let you know when you're done, and then you can go another 30 seconds or so if you need to. And just as a reminder, I know you know this already, but just to get off to a good start, you want to start with asking the client what they want to receive or what their intention is. I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to put my mute on, and I'm going to let you take it from here.
Okay. I'm going to take a moment and just pin myself and Angie so that I can really focus. Oh, I can't pin both of us. Okay.
Do you want me to do that? Would that be helpful for you?
Yeah, I think that would help me focus in, if that's all right.
Can you tell me how to do that? I'm a tech dummy.
So if you go to the little corner that we're in and you see the three dots, if you click on that, there should be an option that says pin if you scroll maybe 2/3 of the way down.
Yep. Maybe one more second here. All right.
So I think I need to. It doesn't appear to be working on my screen, but that's okay. We're going to go ahead.
I see it on mine. Does everybody else see both Angie and Lauren? Huh. I see it on my screen.
I think if I can just pin Angie, that's okay. Great. So I've got that done on my end. So at least I can see you, Angie. And there's other beautiful, loving faces sharing energy with us here. So that's great. Thank you. Hi, Angie.
Hi, Lauren.
It's really nice to connect with you today. I know we haven't really had a chance to connect in this time that we've had together. So I'm really looking forward to sharing some space with you today.
Me too.
Awesome. Would you be interested in doing a little bit of embodiment first, just to kind of bring our energy together?
Okay. Yeah.
So let's just take a moment. If you feel comfortable to close your eyes, that's great. Looks like you're already there. And let's just bring our focus to our breath. Just start to notice where your energy lies right now, as it is, without trying to fix or change anything. And allow some energy to start trickling down from your head into your heart space. Allowing that space to open up as it feels ready. And continuing to allow energy to open up down through your solar plexus. And bringing it down into your pelvic bowl, Really feeling that grounded energy that comes from the area of your pelvis. Feeling the support of the chair beneath you. The support of the earth beneath that. And I see that there's been a shift there for you. So I'm going to allow you to be in that space for a moment. And whenever you feel ready, start to bring yourself back. Open your eyes when that feels right. And from this space, I'd really love to know what it is you'd like to receive today.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I think the predominant energy for me right now, or the predominant thing that I'm working with, is a desire to tap into, like, I'm feeling, I've been in a season of winter, right? I've known that there's all these things in my awareness that are kind of coming in, and shifts and changes that I'm preparing to make professionally, building, you know, this element that I'm working on developing within Sacred Depths, as well as a few other areas. And so I find myself with a few different kind of entrepreneurial ventures that want to come forth and that want, that are like kind of energetically asking for movement. But I personally have been in a season of not really being able to like give it much energy, but I feel that shifting and changing. And I think where I'm feeling stuck right now is in, I don't have a problem like visioning or ideating where I want to be and what I see unfolding. I have a really difficult time getting in my like masculine execution phase of like, okay, then here's the steps that we're going to take, and here's the schedule that we're going to put it on, and all of that. And so I feel like I'm holding a vision for all of these beautiful things and really lacking clarity on the steps between point A and where that vision is leading to, if that makes sense.
I think that does. Let me take a moment, if it's okay, to just make sure that I'm hearing you and that we're on the same page here, in that you've really been taking a lot of time for yourself, wintering things, allowing some space, really. And wintering is probably, it feels to me, at least, it doesn't feel this way for you, like it's definitely like a feminine energy for me. Mm-hmm. And so I'm hearing in that, that there's a lot that's been bubbling up for you as far as different projects that you want to bring forward and that you have these visions for. And it all feels like it's sort of like up here without any like concrete per se plan in terms of bringing forward the steps to take action on any one of these particular options that you have at this point. Would you say that that's right? Is there a piece that I'm missing in there?
I don't think so. I think you have captured everything that I was feeling and stating beautifully. And a piece I would add to that is, I actually think I really enjoy wintering. I might want to stay there, but I can't. I need to move. There is a need to produce some things here now for my life, for providing for my child, for, you know, just it's time, even if I want to stay stuck in the wintering.
Okay. So there's almost this desire to stay and not really move forward while also knowing that like, yeah, life happens and we sort of need to come out of this space a little bit. And how do I do this in a way that really honors this energy where I still want to be receptive in some ways? And like, how can I capture, I almost, this question that's bubbling up is like, how can I retain some of this wintering piece while also starting to take action and move forward? Is there something around like a sense of loss in not being fully in winter anymore?
Yeah, and I think part of what I have been allowing myself so deeply is, I've been the last 4 or 5 months, I've just really been kind of indulging myself in like whatever energy I'm feeling in the moment. And so I'm spending a lot of time in meditation, I'm spending a lot of time in rest, I'm spending a lot of time in self-care, and I don't want to lose that. But I do desire to bring these things forward. They are asking to come forward. And they're things that I deeply like connect with and believe. I just am like hesitant to like get caught up in kind of the doing and the rat race of like creating new things and losing this beautiful like harvesting time that I've allowed myself to like create in my schedule. And so I don't want to lose that, but I do want to honor this movement that wants to happen too. And one of the things that I'm recognizing that I've lost over the last couple of years is used to be very easy for me to make a list and plan of action and that sort of thing. And my brain chemistry or my structure has just really shifted and changed from, a traditional legal structure and executive, HR structure. Now I want to be more in the flow and I'm less able to tap into that masculine. And so it's all these pieces together, but you're really picking up on it all.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm almost hearing in here that there's as you shifted from the legal piece into more of this, I believe it's coaching for you. That's probably why you're here in Sacred Depths. And
yeah, there's some other several pieces. Elements to it, but okay. Yeah, sure. We'll just go with that.
Okay. in that, there is a much more feminine nature to this work than in law. And I almost sense that there's like a distinction between your energy and the business's energy. And I'm curious, it sounds like the business has this energy moving forward of wanting to be more in this masculine place. And you are maybe still holding on to really desiring this feminine space that you've been in. And I almost am curious, like how to bring together these two pieces so that we can have both of the, like both that feminine and masculine piece and both you and the business working together and honoring each other.
This is very meta, but yes. And the irony of it is that a big part of the work that I want to be doing with people is around sacred union within themselves, of their masculine and divine, their divine feminine and masculine counterparts within themselves, and then also within their lives if they're seeking that in partnership or relationship. And so big pieces of my work are around that sacred union piece. And it's just the meta aspect of it is that I'm struggling to create my own and step into my own sacred union.
Yeah. And this is also, want to just reflect this a little bit, like this is also exactly the perfect process for you to be in so that you can serve your future clients.
Exactly. Right?
And I know that you know that. That's not news to you.
I know this, but it all hits differently when you hear it.
Yeah, for sure. So kind of feeling into which way I'd like to go right now. I'm curious what it could look like for you to harness some of this masculine energy while still also holding on to the feminine. How is there, or where is there space for both right now? Without having to look at huge big picture, but like one step forward, what could that piece look like?
Well, I don't think this is exactly what you're asking, but I'm having a bit of an aha moment for myself that like this is not just happening in this part of my life, right? Like within my personal life too, there's a real call to action for my masculine to come forward for me and support me in personal aspects as well. So that's kind of where my brain went when you start as this kind of, what's a place for them. If I'm thinking about the harmony or like an easy entry point for me to allow the masculine in right now in this process that we're talking about in terms of, you know, the business pieces. I think even just, you know, kind of sitting down and kind of putting pen to paper on, you know, what are some steps? What is there a timeline that like we can put a framework around and then kind of back up from there where we need to be now? Or if that's even too advanced, what are some of the steps? And we start with like, what are the mini steps within a step, you know? I'm not sure if that's getting to the question that you asked, but that's kind of where my brain is going.
Yeah, I think that was getting at what I was asking. And also as you're sharing that, what's coming forward for me is, oh gosh, I lost it. Just give me a moment here. It was so big too. It's gonna come. It almost feels like there's a bypassing happening. And like what is bringing up this curiosity for me around like just jumping past this, almost like there's a maybe potentially, and tell me if this is right or wrong, is there a fear that you're going to lose something in letting go of the feminine? And if so, what is that? And I may be wrong.
No, I mean, the piece that what I was going to finish your sentence with when you said a fear and letting go of, so this is taking a much more personal bend, but maybe it's interrelated and maybe it's what needs to come forward. One of the things that I've uncovered in myself this week in a very deep meditation is that I have been wanting others to show up as the masculine for me, to rescue me, to save me, to validate me, to show my worthiness or to prove my worthiness rather than showing up for myself that way. Mm-hmm. So I'm finding that wherever I can outsource my masculine, I've been trying to do that. And so it's not so much a fear of letting go of the feminine, but it's a fear of embracing the masculine.
Okay.
And yeah, so it feels like, yeah, it feels like what I'm really being called into is embodying my own masculine rather than outsourcing that power anymore. Mm-hmm. And that I can't create sacred union with anyone else until I've created it within myself. And it feels elusive. It feels like there's like some reason that I'm like resisting allowing my masculine to really come in and support me.
Okay. Would you feel comfortable right now embodying a little bit of the masculine piece? How would that feel?
I'm game. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I have no idea how I'm going to do this. it feels like the right next step. So I'm just going to experiment here. So just want to invite you to feel into one place in your body where you're able to access masculine energy. And it could be something as small as a pinky, if that feels right. Is there one place?
My legs are feeling very restless, like they want to move. Okay. So I'm gonna go with that.
Yeah. So let's really feel into the energy of your legs right now. Just allow them that space to move. If that's what feels right and that's what they're asking for, just allow them to move around. Whether that's jiggling, maybe there's a little bit of stomping happening. Just see how that starts to feel within your own energy body.
Well, because I'm allowing it, the tension in every other part of my body is also releasing. So as I'm like allowing that movement to happen, it's relaxing other pieces because it's getting the attention it's asking for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just keep allowing those places to release as they feel prepared for that. No pushing, no forcing, just allowing. As other things feel like they want to join in that movement, allow that to happen as well. And this might feel a little bit weird and awkward with people watching us, but if you feel like you want to get up and move around at all, I really want to invite you to do that. If that feels good, no pressure. Just be in what feels right. Mm-hmm. What's coming forward for you?
Just like honoring that desire to move, you know, like when you allow and when you honor and you're not resisting it, it's like allowing the resistance to fall away. Mm-hmm. It feels like it's being answered. It feels like it's getting the attention it's asking for.
Yeah.
And that's where I felt this energy so much lately with the things that like are wanting to come forward, but I'm not giving them the opportunity to breathe and move and mm-hmm. have that attention on them. Yeah. Then they are feeling agitated too, just like my legs have been feeling agitated, you know?
For sure.
Yeah.
And so as this energy opens up and shifts for you, I'm curious if there's something else happening that wants to open up. Any other shifts that want to happen, maybe less on the somatic plane, maybe more.
Yeah, I just am getting this vision of like all of my ideas and all of these things that want to be birthed having restless leg syndrome. And they're all just like jumping beans now, like basically like, yeah, we've been trying to get your attention. And you know, if you would just allow yourself to, you know, focus in on that and stop having ADD or desiring to be elsewhere, like, and really give us the attention that we're asking for. Mm-hmm. We're here, we're ready to come through, you know?
Yeah. And how are you feeling about it? I hear that like this, the stuff is feeling like it's got the energy even more amplified than it did before, but how about you?
Yeah. I mean, I think I also am recognizing in myself, I've done a lot of like work the last number of months on like my own, my energy levels, my hormones, I'm going through premenopause, like all of these things where like needed my body needed a reset with different things. And so with different supplements and workout and movements and foods and things like that, it's like, I've been preparing my entire vessel to have more energy to move forward. And the fact that this energy is now jumping off the walls and wants to move and I'm holding it back, it's just like, I've prepared myself to be able to do this. And now it's like embracing, okay, so this energy, allow it to come in my body, in my mind, in my emotional, in my mental, my business, my everything, like all the things that I've been doing have supported the shift that's wanting to happen now. And it does make me feel more excited about it. It makes me feel like I'm that to not answer the call of it is basically to really be resistant and lazy, really. Like, you know, that word lazy comes up for me, like stop choosing to be stuck.
Hmm. I want to argue that one a little bit. Maybe argue is not the best word, but push back on the lazy bit a little bit. And maybe just suggest that you needed a little bit more time to go and like allow this space to really like allow the beans to start jumping and have some more energy for you to kind of tap into that energy and really pull that in and really feel it and embody it and own it. So
yeah,
I would really invite you to be a little bit more gentle with yourself around the word lazy.
Yeah, as you said it, I was getting a visual of like popcorn, like heating up, and then it's like finally ready to, like, it wasn't ready to pop before, but now it is. Yeah,
it feels like things are feeling ripe, like things are kind of at this place of being ready to burst. And so what I'm curious about now is, like, there's a number of different projects that you want to bring forward or that want to come forward on their own. And I'm curious if there's maybe a fear around being able to manage your energy with so many different things going on, and how can we reframe that a little bit to feel maybe a little bit less overwhelming? It's a word that I'm placing, and if that may not be the right word, so really want to invite you to share what that might really be for you there.
Yeah, no, beautiful. That's chaotic is the word that comes to mind for me. And I've been trying to cultivate a lack of chaos in my life after having the last 5 years has just been pure chaos. And so somatically, my body and my whole entire system has needed a reset the last 5 months. And the interesting thing is, so there's a few different threads here. In human design, I'm a manifesting generator, and I am all over the place with the things that I want to do. But I also see in this vision that they all come together very well. And so there's different threads of business, right? So I have my executive coaching business that I may need to keep doing because it's the one that already has a revenue stream. I have, this more personal coaching that I would like to be doing with women around their own empowerment, their own sacred union, their own sexual empowerment. I have an aspect of like deep meditation and plant medicine work that I'd like to be working with more. I have a podcast that I actually have two podcasts. and then I have a female kind of sexual empowerment community that I'm getting off the ground. So there's all of these things, and I see them all working in tandem, but not necessarily every aspect intertwined with the other. And so it feels like, oh gosh, that's so chaotic. There's so many different opportunities for revenue stream, for clients coming in. And for me, what feels really good about that is that all parts of me are feeling represented here. And like, it is the personal becomes my professional, and it's all working together. That feels really good. But the part that feels chaotic is I don't know how to plan or act. Like, I can't do one business plan, let alone five, you know, like, so like that feels like a lot. And like understanding how it all works together and where, how that's going to support my son and I, knowing, you know, like, I've never considered myself a creative or an entrepreneur. And here I am throwing everything, every old paradigm out the window and jumping in on these things that I have no idea how to monetize. I'm not a social media mogul. I'm not an influencer. I don't know any of these things, but it's all here. And I don't really know what I'm doing with any of it, but I feel really called into it. So it does feel really chaotic, but it also feels like the only way to really do the work I want to do embodied, because it represents all the parts of me. Mm-hmm. So
I really want to take a moment and honor the courage that it took to throw all of those pieces away and step into really what you're being called to do. Even in the midst of all of the feelings of chaos, all of the, I don't know what the hell I'm doing right now. I'm not this, I'm not that. And really want to call forward the strength that it took to do that, mm-hmm. and the courage that it takes. And also to honor that, like, if these things are so calling you to do, you have everything that it takes to make that happen.
Yeah, thank you.
And what if it gets to be an experiment where you get to invite in this playful feminine energy of just trying and seeing what happens, and it doesn't have to be perfect.
Not so, like, the lawyer Angie that's dying, it's not so great with, like, things not being perfect. And that feels really scary.
Mm.
Failure feels very scary to me.
Where do you feel that in your body?
My chest.
Mm-hmm. What's that sensation like?
It's tight and constricting and dark.
Mm-hmm.
Very shadowy.
So you give presence to that tight, dark, shadowy energy. What happens as you allow yourself to feel it?
It starts to dissipate.
Mm-hmm.
And unwind.
Yeah. Just be with that for another moment or two.
Yeah, the words that come to mind are, you're still held, it's okay.
Beautiful. You are still held, Angie.
And it's my own masculine showing up to comfort me.
Beautiful.
In the ways that I always wanted as a child and still today. And that part of me is still there. It's just, I don't often let the voice come through, I think.
What does it feel like to be so held by your masculine energy?
It's very grounding and it's very presencing, and it just feels more satisfying than anything I've sought outside of myself, any other place I've tried to outsource that feeling from.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels steadier and it feels vibrationally like more in tune with me.
Yeah. I know for me personally, and this is my own filter here, a lot of times when I'm trying to outsource a certain thing, a lot of times it's when I know that I need it most from myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I love that this is coming forward for you. Anything? Yeah. Okay. I was just about to ask if it had anything it wanted to say, and if it's quiet, it's quiet.
That's quiet at the moment. Yeah. Just feels peaceful, you know, like it's fine. It's gonna be okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Would this masculine energy like to stay in this quiet place, or would it be open to doing a little bit of strategy with us?
Oh yeah, I think so. Sure.
Okay. So I would love to know, what would it like to bring forward?
Yeah, I feel like the movement and like the action and the doing, the energy to do it. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like an invitation to like have a date with it, you know, set time aside to spend with it and really drown out everything else and just really like take my own masculine like on a date and like work on these plans, work on this vision, you know, like the steps and the goals along the way for some of that, even just in the next 3 months. What is it, you know, like forget the long-term planning, but like what is really wanting to come forward right now, and what are those steps?
Yeah, absolutely. How would you love to, there's a word that I want to, that wants to come forward. It's like right there. Like, how do you want to court this energy, right?
Well, yeah, like court and romance, that's coming up for me. Yeah, exactly. Well, it's really beautiful. I'm realizing that I've got this, like the next 2 weeks, I'm really going to have a lot of time to do that, I think. And I, rather than like wishing I could fill it with something else, I think I'd really like to, yeah, like court and romance this part of myself that really is wanting some attention and wanting to kind of preen a little bit, like a peacock, like let it happen, you know, and spend a little time admiring it and devoting my feminine energy to, you know, courting it.
Yeah, absolutely. Any specifics around what that might look like that are bubbling up now? Doesn't have to stay, just kind of.
I mean, I've spent so much time alone the last like 4 or 5 months, but only in that other aspect of my energy. And it's just like really, yeah, in this time that's coming up for me when I have that, like stop trying to fill it with something else and allow, you know, a little more structure and a little more, yeah, just devotion to this aspect of myself, like knowing, I think part of what you hit on earlier is this idea that I like don't want to lose this other aspect of myself. And it's like, well, we're not trying to put her away either. We're just trying to bring, adding the her, the him, whatever, the pronouns, you know, it's just helpful for my own verbalization, but like, she doesn't have to go away. She just has to create some space at the table. And it's almost like literally for myself, like envisioning, I like to do these aspecting practices where like I can be both sides of the equation. So in the past, like say I'll do it with my mother and like I'll have a conversation that I need to have with her and then I'll embody her and talk back to me. And it's almost like I need to do a little aspecting with like my feminine and my masculine to get a full version of what wants to come forward rather than just like this one side. So I still need her too. So really like, honestly, like setting aside like date time for these two to communicate together, around a coalesce, like one aspect of the business. Like we could do one aspect here, one aspect here, like 5 different date nights over the next 2 weeks, you know?
I love it. How does that feel for you?
It feels fun. It feels way more fun than the idea of like, I'm going to put a 2-hour block for like business planning, you know?
Absolutely.
So when I think about like romancing myself, like that takes on a totally different tone. Mm-hmm. And I love it.
Yeah. Your energy totally shifted around it too. I know you feel that. I can
say
that.
Totally. Yeah.
Absolutely. Awesome. We're right at time now, so I want to honor where we are with time. I am curious, you kind of have said this already, but I just want to like specifically name it. Is there one specific takeaway that you have from our time together today?
Oh, well, there's many, but like the action step is to date myself for the next little while and really like, yeah, romance myself a little bit on both of these aspects and give them both, you know, what they are asking for and needing, so that these jumping beans can get the attention that they want.
I love it. I'm really excited for you.
I am too.
Awesome. Thank you, Angie.
Thank you. Thank you, Lauren. Thank you, Angie. Hold on, I'm gonna unpin you both. Give me 1 second. So well done all around. Yeah. All right. So in a moment, I'm gonna ask everybody, but first, Lauren, I wanna ask you, what's one thing? Hopefully you have many things, but what's one thing that you really want to celebrate from the just wonderful, masterful work that you just did?
I surprised myself. it just felt like there was such an easy, beautiful flow that isn't necessarily always there in my coaching sessions. I feel like I tend to jump back and forth a little bit more. And so really just want to honor how easily things felt like they flowed.
Nice. I could feel that flow too. That was notable. How do you feel like you did with the questions?
I felt like they came really intuitively. I wasn't super conscious about the questioning piece. It was definitely a lot more intuitive. And I think that's generally how I am anyway. I mean, I feel really good about the questions. There were a few points where like I probably like going back would have asked different things or gone down different paths. Overall, I think Angie got to a really beautiful space, and I think it was exactly what she needed today.
Nice. Really, really nice. I'm so glad you can own that. Feels like you're owning your role as a coach, which is a big piece that you stepped into it with. Yes. Okay, good. So with everybody's practitioner hats on, and Angie, you can put your practitioner hat on too, if you want to. I'd love to hear what did Lauren do really well? What went really well in the session? What are some pieces that you want to pick at that you noted? You're like, oh, that was really good. Who wants to share? You can raise your hand and I'll call on you. Bryn.
I loved how she went into the second part of the embodying piece where like, she's like, I'm not sure how it's going to work, but she had confidence in saying, okay, let's look at this in your body. Where are you feeling that? And I thought, whoa, that was cool, because Angie's like, it's in my legs, you know? And I don't know if like Angie, like maybe she did say like, I kind of felt that she felt a little restless or whatever, but identifying that, I thought that was really cool. I do have one question. Am I allowed to ask that now or not yet?
We're going to get to that later. So I'm glad that you're pulling this piece out. It was such a beautiful moment where Lauren was like, experiment, right? I don't know, but it was so great. It equals the playing field. It creates more trust. If you're feeling tentativeness as the practitioner, right? To just like name, so beautiful, because Lauren, you know, I'm a Virgo and I'm going to like nitpick just so that you and everybody like, you know, gets to even some deeper pieces. The one piece about that I made a note of is you said, I'm going to experiment. I would shift there to we're going to experiment, right? Like we're in this together. Good. Juliana.
I just loved the space that she gave, like how slow you started, Lauren, you know, like, and then when Angie was feeling something, like it was just really spacious with, yeah, you know, those places where there weren't any words or exchanges, you know, that's not easy to do sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like such a beautiful pace. There was space for Angie to really feel into things, to let things land, for pieces to come through. And always this happens when there is space, everything gets done. I always think slow down to speed up, right? Not just in the actions that we take in our life, in our business, but in our sessions as well. Good. Fenshen.
That was so beautiful. Thanks to you both for being vulnerable and, yeah, sharing the gift with us. Lauren, I really loved how you created the container at the beginning. I felt it, for me, it felt particularly like you were connecting your energies and creating your capacity to work, to co-create together. Like I really felt that energy. I just think you did that so beautifully and really appreciated that. And then the other piece that I felt really was really powerful, and you met your goal of asking breakthrough questions, was when you said, what does it feel like to be held by your own masculine energy? To me, that just felt like the moment. That felt like the shift. And that felt like what allowed her to drop in and get to where she needed to be. And it just felt so powerful and beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad you're bringing both of these pieces. So working backwards, that was such a masterful question. The what does it feel like to be so held by your masculine energy? And I agree, Fenshen, it was, there were a couple turning points in the session, but that was definitely one of them. It was just such a beautiful moment. And then there are a couple pieces I want to pull out from the container setting in the beginning that you spoke to. So the container setting, yes, the embodiment piece, the breathing and the connecting together 100% helped create the container. But Lauren did some really important things even before she got to that point to really set the container. And the first was that Lauren acknowledged that her and Angie were kind of connecting for the first time. That was like, obviously that's not going to happen a lot with our clients, but just the acknowledgement of what is, the smoothing, the way that, right? Like that creating the deeper relationship and then container by acknowledging this is our first time, right? And she said, I'm also very excited to connect. And then before going into that kind of somatic visualization, she asked, would you be interested? So she got the permission. Now, again, because I'm nitpicky and just for everybody's learning, what Lauren said is, would you be interested in embodiment? Which I think always coach the what based on the who. For Angie, it was great. She gets embodiment. She's into it. She wanted to go there. But for another client, you might not want to use, even if it's that same exact meditation, visualization, whatever you want to call it, you might not want to use the word embodiment because that can maybe be a little scary for people. So you might just want to ask, you know, would it be okay if we just took some time to get grounded together and fully present? Always coach the what based on the who. Gaia.
Hi. Well, I really, I feel like, you know, online in this platform where you're looking through these little boxes and feeling through people trying to connect with them energetically, I was really amazed at Lauren's energy. She really, to me, embodied the slow and steady pace, which is one of the things that you taught us that really came through for me. And I just loved her kindness. You know, she was very kind and compassionate, and not, I guess for me, this is a big deal, and not too pushy, which I tend to be a little bit. So I really sat in that nice and steady pacing. I loved it. Something that I thought was brilliant, that she, it was one of the, after she set the container and started asking questions, one of the things, something she did that was absolutely brilliant was she, in the first part, she reflected back to Angie what she expressed. And then she asked her, does that sound like what? And Angie said, yes. Now, I know it's something we should do, could do, but I don't think that happens a lot. It would be hard to reflect every single time a client says something. But that she did that in the beginning, when this client expressed sort of as fully as she could what she wanted, and for her to reflect that back, I thought that was absolutely stunning, and she did a great job. And yeah. Then the piece that jumped out for me, specifically
Gaia, I'm going to stop you because you're saying so much in such a short period of time, and I want to slow it down. You shared two things, so let's go.
A teeny weeny piece that's so good,
okay,
and it's because of me and my brain. And at one point she forgot what she was saying or the question. And I thought, oh no, that happens to me. And she said, can you give me a moment to, and that was so good for me. Oh my gosh. Thank you.
Yes. That was such a, so let's look at all three of them. So working backwards, that moment, right. Of just like, wait, I had this thought and it just left. Give me a moment. Such a beautiful moment. Like we don't, as practitioners, we don't have to rush through things. If we've lost a train of thought, we can take that moment to reset. There's nothing wrong with doing that at all. Then the other thing that Gaia said about the reflecting in the beginning, and I want to just pull that out a little bit more. So Lauren did something really masterful. It was right after she asked, I think is what you were talking about, the moment you were talking about Gaia, right after she asked what Angie's intentions were. So she said, let me reflect back. Let me make sure that we're on the same page. And then what Lauren actually did was she reflected back what she heard, not word for word, but she kind of like summed it up. And then she added a piece through listening between the lines. So she reflected back what Angie said, and then she made this, Angie had been talking about winter, and then she was talking about not being in her masculine, and Lauren said, and I imagine that the winter is more like the feminine, right? So she was kind of listening between the lines and then reflecting that back too, that you've been in this feminine space. Good. And then Gaia also said, as we've been talking about slowing down, Michelle is saying, also holding the silence in the chat, absolutely. And that kindness, right? We could feel that it was an equal playing field. We could feel that the practitioner respects this client. She's there for her. Good. Anina.
Yeah, thank you both. I found it so beautiful how Lauren held this very feminine space, actually. It was very, as many people pointed out, it was very slow and steady, but also very allowing. And I love the fact that you asked many times if it feels right, or very gently inviting rather than kind of pushing or suggesting too many things, giving enough space to explore the embodiment as well. And it's almost like that allowing and acceptance and spaciousness invited Angie also to kind of invite more from her feminine, the masculine, to come in. And I just found that beautiful. And also the intuition part, that you kind of went into this feminine masculine piece that Angie kind of mentioned in the beginning,
briefly about the masculine, and then you kind of focused on that, and then it turned out, and she said that, oh, you're actually working on that thematic. That was, yeah, admiring your feminine space holding. Thank you.
Yeah, nice. And I know what I was going to say. Like Anina just said, this at the first piece, the asking permission each time. This is an important skill for being trauma informed. I think some of you have heard me say this before. We never want to take a client deeper or take them into a somatic process unless we ask permission first. That's because so many people in their lives have had traumatic events where they were forced into doing something that they maybe didn't want to do, and they don't know how to say no. They just go with it, right? So number one, it's a trauma-informed practice to ask when we go deeper, when we go into the body, when we're about to do something maybe a little stretchy with the client. Number two, it's a transformational skill, because if the client says yes, that's a signal to their psyche of like, yeah, I'm ready. I'm going to go deeper. I'm going to open up. I'm going to be more vulnerable. I'm going to look, right? It opens the pathway up for them. Okay. Okay. Because of time, there's, you know, many other things that Lauren did well. If we have time later, I'll name some others. But for now, Lauren, I want to ask you, what's one thing that maybe you would have liked to have done differently?
I have a hard time retaining everything that I just did because I was so in the moment. I think there was a piece really toward the end where it was kind of when we were starting to strategize, and I don't remember what my words were, but there was a piece that felt a little bit glitchy for me in there. I think I've lost it.
I didn't notice anything glitchy. I liked how you, because she was kind of the masculine was silent, you asked like, would it be okay with the masculine if we strategized? I thought that was a really nice flourish. The one thing that I wanted you to maybe do, but I don't think it needed it, but again, just nitpicky, is to actually ask her to pin down some dates for it, to just like bring in even more of that masculine there of like, okay, so when? Go ahead.
I think that's kind of what it was. It was around like, I think I asked like, something around like, are there specifics, la la la, but I think that was a little bit vague. And yeah, I think that was
the point. I mean, she got to where she needed to, like you said, definitely got to where she needed to be at the end, but like, I think it could have, like there could have just been one more step there.
Yeah.
Good. All right, so let me ask all of you, what's something that you might have done differently if you were the coach in the situation? Understanding that this is all, this is not criticism, right? This is just looking at kind of different ways and different ideas. Britton.
So my question was, when a client uses a word that you kind of need clarification on, and apparently Lauren didn't, but I would, if I had been in Lauren's position, and the question I would have asked her kind of like to elaborate a little bit more about the term meta, because personally I hear meta tossed around a lot, but I didn't know what it would, if it means the same thing as what I think my definition is or whatever. So that's would have been the question, I think, because of me, who I am, I would need a clarification. That's all.
I think that's totally valid. So as a review for everybody, there's two different moments where we might ask a client to define what they just said. One is if we need clarification, we're not quite sure what they said because we don't want to move forward, not understanding. And then the other time is if we think it's an important moment for the client to define it for themselves. I don't think that was like an important moment where Angie needed to define what meta meant, but for it, for your understanding, yes. Good. I'm glad you're bringing that into the conversation. It's important to know and remember. Who else? What's something you might have done a little differently or a different pathway you might have taken? Who wants to share? Michelle saying in the chat, I might have stayed with Angie when she had her hand on her heart and was feeling that masculine element, probably had her step into that a bit more, mimic her hand, maybe even point it out just a little more there. Yeah, nice, Michelle. I noticed that a bit too. There could have been just like a sinking into that even more. Good. Kelsey.
Oh, it just was so beautiful to watch, really. I found myself really curious about Angie's relationship generally to the masculine, to the doing, and kind of wanted to dig into like possibly, and this could be like my total projection because I'm in a very but like the fear around embracing and embodying the masculine, just kind of that general background there.
Yeah, agree. I made some notes on that too. And again, Angie got exactly where she needed to go. And it might also be for another time or Angie now for if this lands for you to do journaling, but yeah, like what is that actual relationship? What is the resistance? And then along those lines, some notes I made about like a possible direction to go in there is I was hearing, so I think this is connected to Angie's lawyer self, which she referred to a couple times. And it's like, okay, lawyer bad, lawyer dying, right? So maybe the lawyer was the unhealthy expression of the masculine that had such a negative impact that it was like, okay, now no. But then what is the replacement for that? What is the healthy expression of the masculine? And you know, in shadow work, which we're not getting much into in sacred depths, but I'll just toss, we actually never want to reject any part of ourselves, including that lawyer part of the self. And so like in connection with all of this, it's like, well, how, what is the healthy, because the lawyer has a lot of resource for Angie tied up in it, a lot of energy for resource for Angie that she can use, life force energy, skill in there. So we actually don't want to get rid of it. We want to see how we can work better with it. What does that lawyer self need to be in a higher expression of itself? Angie, does that resonate for you?
Yeah, I'm feverishly taking some notes here for myself, but totally, I do agree with that. And I think for me, a lot of it is that I believe, surprisingly to me, I've learned in the last couple of years that I spent a lot of my life in the masculine, but and it wasn't overly wounded, but I didn't really understand the value of it, you know? And so now it's like rejecting some of these aspects of myself that was constantly needing to do and to prove my worth. And so then I like how you just framed that is like, okay, let's get into our higher expression of it then. And yeah, what could
so
that
much resource
like?
There for you too, that you don't want to cut off.
Well, I'm clearly learning that I can't just flow through life completely. I need that resource and I need to know how to balance it.
Yeah. Nice. Beautiful. Okay, good. Kelly A is saying in the chat, when Angie talked about the five different projects, business streams she wanted to work on, and the overwhelm, I was feeling to ask if there was one or two she would like to focus on first, knowing the rest could fall in, come into place. Nice. Good. Lisa, and then Gaia.
Going back to the definitions, I was very curious early on about masculine and feminine and what the associations to those are, because I was hearing between the lines that the divisioning and the self-care is feminine and action is masculine. But I was curious to hear if there was more more to flesh that out with.
Yeah, Yeah, that could have been a nice place to land on for a little bit. And that might have opened up some other pieces to just like expanding on those definitions and what are those really for Angie. Good.
And I've got a couple more, if that's okay.
Yeah, I'll take one more for now and then Gaia. And then if there are no other hands raised, I'll come back for you. But give us one more.
There were a couple places where I would have asked, what does your heart say? Before we got to the later in the session, I was especially about this list of many different things. What does your heart say? Which is closest to your heart or something like that? I would have been very curious to bring the heart in.
Yeah, nice. And then some of that has a flavor of what Kelly was sharing in the chat too, around like, aware of them. And it might be right to pick a couple of the five, or it might be about supporting Angie to see like, how are they integrated? And she kind of got there at the end, like, and so then for the next 3 months, what is the focus? Good. Gaia.
I would ditto the piece about the masculine and feminine, but mostly I noticed on two occasions she used the word struggle. She talked about constriction and shallowy and tenseness. And so I would have addressed that when that came up right then and there in her body in a somatic way. I would maybe say something like, well, just take a moment now and just without going too deeply into like trauma and, you know, deep psychology work, but just feeling the struggle in her body, what's going on right now, what does that have to say? I would give that a voice. Yeah. I would do something like that. And then the second little piece, which I definitely was so excited about that I would have done, is at the very end when she talked about dating, courting the masculine, which was so brilliant. I wanted to ask, well, tell me two things that you're going to do in this next couple months, because she said in the next like 3 months or so. I would like, well, what could we do? I want to know about one of your dates with the masculine. So I would come up with maybe two action plans in terms of the dating and the courting and do that within a certain time.
Yeah, I think that's part of what Lauren was speaking to before, getting a little more detailed there. Yes. Okay, we have 3 minutes officially left. In a moment, I'm gonna take Vesica's share. I wanna hear from Lauren and Angie before we're done. It's another trauma-informed skill to not go too over time because people then feel like they're held to it. But that being said, because I wanna eke out as much learning as possible. If you need to go after that, go. I'm going to hang on and share some other things that I just think would be helpful for everyone. And you can catch it now live or catch it on the recording as well. So Vesica.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. I'm here. So everyone's shares were amazing. And I can actually I want to speak to that. With this, I would actually create probably like 4 or 5 or 6 sessions, because there's so much material and what's happening here, just to know that we could never do, I mean, what right. Lauren did was amazing. And for me, that would be the first step. And then the next step would be, there's so much more into it. And I could see for myself, because this is a big part of the work that I do, is that I could see, you know, actually doing a session just on helping Angie come into cohesiveness or a unification with her masculine and feminine. And in the process where she actually had a connection and she was having the somatic experience of feeling the masculine, I would introduce the feminine into witnessing, like being there, having, like starting to create that connection somatically of like, you know, the feminine being right next to the masculine. You know, there's different ways that it could happen, but that would be something I would really go deeper on. And then from that place, I would actually have Angie start coming into, in this unification process, actually coming into what would be a unified next step. Instead of creating a separation, I would create unity within that, and then have her be making choices and decisions based on being in that place energetically together. And then I would have the masculine and feminine have different roles in that next step. That's just an idea.
Nice. Yeah, I love it. And also just another great point. Like this is why we don't do single sessions, right? This is why it's so valuable for clients to buy packages, to be with us through a container of time. Okay, we're at time. If I could just take a minute and hear 30 seconds from Lauren and then 30 seconds from Angie first, 30 seconds from Lauren. And then I'm going to talk a bit too for whoever. Hang on. But Angie, I want you and Lauren to both have kind of like the last words. What are you taking from this whole entire session today? What is it that you want to say? Last words.
I'm taking a lot. I mean, I'm definitely going to go back and listen to it again, but it felt very transformative in the process. And it just has been, it was a coalescing of all sorts of things that have been coming into my own awareness this week and my own meditation time and whatever, from the personal to the professional and everything, like seeing it from like, when I say meta, I mean, well, in this particular sense, seeing it from like above, like the 10,000 foot view and seeing how it all works together and the puzzle pieces. But for me, the meta within the meta is that like the process that she just walked me through is what I think I'm also going to be walking others through. And it's all one experience within the next. And the last thing I'll say is thank you, Lauren. That was just so beautiful. And the felt experience of it was super transformative.
Beautiful. Thank you. Yes. And Lauren, what are you taking away from our call?
So first, I just want to thank Angie for being so open and vulnerable and sharing with all of us. So thank you for being an amazing client. and you know, I think, what am I taking away? A lot. It's too much to really integrate yet. you know, there's so many powerful reflections and so many different ways that I could have gone that I love all of your powerful shares. Just really, really taking away, you know, how powerful I am as a coach.
That's what I was hoping you were going to say. Yeah.
It still feels weird to say.
I'm glad you're taking it away. And I'm glad that you're willing to say it out loud here. That says a lot actually about how integrated that is and how integrated it's becoming. Really nicely done. And thank you to Angie again, too, for being an awesome client. I would love for everyone to also just note what you're taking away for yourself from this call. If you want to share it in the Facebook group, I would love for you to share it in the chat. I'm going to talk for a few more minutes. If everybody has to go, it's fine. I have no problem talking into the void. Catch the recording if you want, but because I am so Virgo and because I just like, I'm all like, I know you're all here to like get better and better and better and better. I'm going to pull out a couple of other pieces, and Lauren, just so, I mean, you know me well enough by now to like, you did an amazing job. Nothing needs to be different. And also I'm just going to toss a couple more pieces and ideas out there. I didn't think that it's interesting because I think it was an unspoken, this is what the intention of the session is, but I actually don't think the two of you ever landed on what Angie actually wanted to take from the session. Like I never heard the words of like what she wanted to do with this masculine, feminine, not getting to the things done. So just a reminder for everyone, you actually want to like have a shared agreement of what the client is. And you see, the client can't, they're not ready to get there in the beginning of the session. But I don't think that's what was going on here. Like, I think it could have been just teased out a little bit more. There were a couple of times where Lauren said something And if you were looking at Angie, you could see it hit her. Like it was a something important. Like she would go like this, or like this, something was happening for her energetically. So like one of the times was when Lauren said, it feels like your energy, this weren't the exact words, but it was something around like, it feels like your energy is separate from the business energy. And you could see right away that hit Angie on a deep level, except Lauren kept on talking after this to explain it and give it more context and make it sound smarter, which I get. But I think what would have been powerful in those moments would be to let that land and actually let the client take that in and ask the client, like, what's coming up for you around this. It still flowed. Angie is also very coachable. So she like ultimately shared what was going on for her. But I think just a couple of those moments, a little bit more space, a similar kind of thing. There were a couple of leading questions. Like it's yes, no questions are fine, but just watch on how many, try to keep them open-ended. And I noticed you did an interesting thing, Lauren. Almost every time you asked a leading question, you stacked a question, you asked another question after it. It was almost like, okay, I just said something leading, and then now I'm going to like ask another question right on top of it. So just watch for that. It worked. She got to where she needed to be, like all is well. But I think something to just pay attention to. What I did also notice is that when you were working with the body, those were all open-ended questions and none of them were stacked. It was almost like you slowed down as even more as well when Angie was inward. And I want you to bring some more of that to the like mundane, for lack of a better word, everyday question asking in sessions as well. Does that resonate? Okay, good. I'm not going to mention other pathways that could have gone down because there are always so many, and the pathway that you went down was great. There was one other thing. If I just have to pick one other thing, I don't want to keep us too long. There were one or two moments where I felt that you could have reflected back to her that she actually was in the sacred union process, since that's something that's so important to her. So the first is when she was talking about the five different things that she's working on, and she's like, they're all different aspects of me. That was a beautiful moment to reflect, like, oh, you're in sacred union with that. And then also at the end, when the two of you were talking about her romancing herself and the aspecting of the self, I would have said, ooh, that is true sacred union, right? Just to kind of like underscore that point. And also to reflect back when she started talking about the date and then, you know, creating a plan for the next 3 months, what I was thinking in my head is, oh, that's not chaotic anymore. Like an organization is starting to happen. I might have reflected that back as well. Anyway, nitpickies, because I'm a Virgo. I hope that this was valuable for all of you. I'm excited to see what seeds were planted for all of you today, for your practitioner selves and just for you. Thank you as always, just for everybody and your presence in this community and just all of the everything that you bring. I'm astounded as always. Sending you all a lot of love, and I will see you soon.